feel like we need to make a game out of when the lights suddenly just get bright. Like maybe, and when that happens, like everyone just stands up and oh, something fun. Happy Father's Day. It's the kind of dad that I am. Yeah, everything's got to be a game. Speaking of games, the dating game. When I was in my late teens, I met my now wife. Actually, she says we met earlier than that, but that's a sad story that she loves to tell. As I realized who she was, man, I just fell for this girl with this big smile, huge heart, and she's just altogether gorgeous. And so what did I do? I naturally pursue her. I got to pursue this girl. And so I'm going to spend every bit of time and every single dime that I have to just be with this girl. I've got to win her. And I'll never forget the joy of the day that she likes to tell this story as if it's some crazy absurd thing, but I insisted on holding off and making her say the words, "I like you," before I said them. And so just the day that she revealed that she actually was pursuing me was a beautiful thing to see that like this girl that I'm pursuing is also pursuing me. And when you find that in life, that the thing that you are pursuing or the person you are pursuing is also pursuing you, and that's beautiful. That's a wonderful place to live. To be pursued by the thing that you are pursuing. So today I want to ask a couple questions. We'll start with who or what are you pursuing? And then who or what is pursuing you? As we're going to conclude our series through Psalm 23 for this part of summer. But Psalm 23, the first five verses reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." That in this psalm, David wrote this psalm, David having been a shepherd for much of his earlier life, and then as a king, he's reflecting on this. And so he has personal experience with this example that he's employing here, this metaphor, that the Lord is my shepherd. And so we are sheep, and the Lord is shepherd. This is how Psalm 103 says, "Acknowledge the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture." And so in this illustration, we are the sheep, and the Lord, God himself, is our shepherd. And the beauty of what that implies, that yes, we can be silly like sheep and just so dependent on the shepherd that we will get lost. We will not know what to eat. We'll eat too much. We'll suffer tremendously and even die without the care, the leadership, the protection, the provision of the shepherd. And so David says, who is my shepherd? Well, the Lord. Who is it that's going to lead me? Who will take me to lie down in green pastures? The Lord will. The God of the cosmos. And it's all caps Lord, which is how we write in English this divine name that's thought to be something like Yahweh. That out of this burning bush that is somehow not consumed, Moses stumbles upon, God speaks to him and he reveals himself as Yahweh, as I am that I am, or I be that I be, that somehow he is self-existent. He is transcendent over all, not contingent on anything, and yet he is immanent. That the God of the cosmos does not need us, and yet he ties himself to his people. He has chosen us and he loves us. And he's bound himself together with us. Did you get it? There we go. Nicely done. Nicely done. Next round, more of you will get it. It's okay. We'll pick up on this. But this God that is that big, he loves us. And we could say something as intimate as David to say, the Lord is my possessive, my shepherd. He is my shepherd. He provides for me. He leads me to lie down in green pastures. Do you remember what that's like? Like, you go to green pastures because you could consume all the vegetation in one field, and you need to be brought to another field where there's more food. But also, remember, sheep have this habit of they don't just eat until they get what they need. They just keep going, and they'll eat the roots. And so now we're led to not just green pastures where there's abundant food, now there's provision for me, but it's to lie down in that. And that's crazy. that I can actually be hungry and yet be content in the Lord so that I could lie down in something that I could otherwise consume. Oh, to be a people like that, to be satisfied in God and not be chasing after everything else. I have what I need. And then he leads me to places of peace and quiet and reflection because he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He protects us. That in the midst of all the insanity of life, the war, so to speak, is raging around us. You imagine like bombs exploding, there's arrows flying, bullets whistling by and all this stuff. And you turn the corner and there is the Good Shepherd sitting at a table that he has prepared your favorite meal and inviting you to this calm setting. In the midst of all that's going on, he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our head with oil, this lavishness, like you're blessed and your cup is overflowing. He's sloppy with the wine. It's just extravagance. In the midst of all the insanity of life, that is the invitation of the shepherd, to be with him at this table, to fellowship with him. Protects us. This rod and the staff, remember the rod is because there are things that could attack us from without. There is an enemy that's prowling around and there are all these things that could be a danger to us and he has this rod or this club so he can attack them back or defend us, the sheep. He puts himself between us and what could harm us. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, but he also has a staff or a shepherd's crook. And that one is because sometimes the attack or the danger is without and sometimes it's within. And that staff will correct us because we're prone to wander, prone to get into trouble, and he can grab us and pull us back to safety or give us a gentle nudge and redirect us because he leads us along the right path, right? And that right path sometimes takes us to the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death. And yet he's with us. We won't be afraid. The fact that he can protect us with this rod and his staff, it comforts us. And so we welcome the discipline of the Lord. Because he disciplines us in love. This is the good shepherd, a shepherd who is here with us. Remember the chiasm of the whole psalm, 20 lines in Hebrew. You come to the center line, the one that it's all really kind of coming to this climax, and it is just simply the words, "For you are with me." Because he is with us, we don't have to be afraid. Because he is with us, we will not want. We have what we need. Because he is with us, we'll be on the right path. We need this shepherd, the good shepherd with us. And now we come to the conclusion today. Verse 6, if you will turn in your copy of scripture, it will also be on the screen behind me. Psalm chapter 23, verse 6, David closes this psalm out with this, "Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life." I'm going to read it slowly, and I want you to think about every word. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life. Every word matters. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life. How many of us, again, have this memorized, whether you grew up in church or not, in the King James rendition. And so we think, follow. Only goodness and mercy will follow me. And we think, follow. So is it follow or is it pursue? Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me. Our translation that we're using is the Christian Standard Bible. It says pursue. And so many English translations have follow and some have pursue. I'm fully convinced that pursue is a much better rendition because you lose something and follow. If something were to follow me, it's just kind of tagging along. But the word that David employs here is not just this passive following. There's intentionality in this. There's a doggedness. There's a determination to it. That this is a pursuit that is determined to be with us, to chase after us. This pursuit of goodness and faithful love pursuing, chasing us. Pursue captures this intensity. These attributes aren't just tagging along. They are determined to be with us. Goodness and faithful love, you should remember if we go back to the first week when we talk about that all caps Lord that is our shepherd, and that he's revealed this name to us in this burning bush that's not consumed. Moses gets this revelation of God. And then he goes about and he's leading the people out of the enslavement of the Egyptians and all this stuff. And there comes a point, Pastor Reggie actually mentioned this earlier in our gathering, where he's like, I want to see more of you, God. Like, man, this guy's already getting to meet on the daily with Yahweh. He saw the burning bush. He's seen the cloud and he's seen the fire and all these things that are these manifestations of the presence of Yahweh. And he's like, I want to see more of you. And God's like, well, you can't see me and live. But here's what I'll do. I'm going to hide you in this rock and I'll put my hand over you and I'll pass by you. I'll let my glory pass by you and I'll proclaim my name and I'll let you see my backside. And as he does that, he says what his name is, the Lord, the Lord. What was it? Compassionate. Compassionate. Abounding and faithful love. Slow to anger. Forgiving 1,000 generations. Like, that's what he reveals himself as. And so when you hear this, goodness and faithful love should be a direct callback to the very terms that God revealed in that, of some of his core attributes. If you want to know God, this is what you must know about him. He is good. And he has this faithful love, this covenantal love, that he is faithful in his love. And so when we hear that, only goodness and faithful love will pursue me, we should read this in the context and literally within the confines of Scripture and immediately think back to that, like, wait, these attributes of God are pursuing us. And here's the thing, in the same way that it's beloved church, 1 John 4, vision text of this church. Beloved, let us love one another. For anyone who does not love does not know God. Why? Because God is love. And it's famous. You hear that a lot. God is love. And so if you made this an equation, God equals love, it's like, yes, but not at the exclusion of other things. And so the point John is making in saying God is love is not to say, hey, if you just understand love, then you've got God completely figured out. It's not to reduce God to just love. It's to say that love is so key, so central to his very being as an attribute of who he is, that you cannot separate them out. That to know God is to know love. And so in the same way, these other attributes of God, like good and this faithful love, this covenantal love, are so key to who he is that when we hear David say, only goodness and faithful love will pursue me, you should hear him saying, God is chasing me. That you don't separate these out. That what is it that's chasing after me? Goodness and faithful love. That means that the shepherd himself is chasing me. He's in pursuit of me all the days of my life. And man, I so need this because goodness is not exactly what defines me apart from God. And faithful love is not exactly what defines me. In fact, I am so prone to wander. I am so prone to fall and fail that I sin over and over and over. And yet, God is still good. His intention for me is still positive. And his love for me is not conditioned upon my performance. It's faithful love when I am unfaithful. He is still faithful and he's still pursuing me all the days of my life. He's after me. We don't separate God's attributes from God himself. It is God who is pursuing us. As we wander away, he's still chasing after us. The beauty of this is how Jesus said this in Luke chapter 15. He's been challenged yet again. And so it says this at the start of chapter 15 in verse 1, all the tax collectors and sinners were approaching to listen to him. And the Pharisees and scribes were complaining, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. That's a big no-no in their culture. Great pious Jews do not eat with sinners. And you're like, but we're all sinners. Exactly, but some of us are really good at hiding our sins, right? This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. What man among you, who has 100 sheep and loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open field and go after the lost one until he finds it? When he has found it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders, and coming home, he calls his friends and neighbors together, saying to them, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, In the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need repentance. 100 sheep. And the shepherd knows, because he takes that rod or that staff and he counts them. He knows each and every sheep. And when he realizes one has gone missing, and you think about that, you got 100 sheep. One goes missing. And you look around and like, all the work to do for these 99. Gotta keep them, like, I've got a lot here. We're like, a 1% loss. Most, like, if you're in business, like, that's not a big deal. Nothing to write home about. But this shepherd, not on my watch. And he leaves the 99 and he takes off. He steps into danger and he goes to find that wandering sheep. And when he finds that wandering sheep, says, no longer on you. Clearly you couldn't stay with us, but I'll get you home. Throws that sheep over his shoulders. And now imagine sheep. Like, do you think sheep are like, oh, I want a piggyback ride all the time? Like, no, that is not natural for them. And so that shepherd is going to come in there and take control, throw that sheep over his shoulders, holding on to those legs. So kick as much as you want to. You're coming with me. We're going home. And he takes that wandering sheep, so prone to wander, and says, you're mine, and you're not getting away from me. Over his shoulders, bearing the entire weight of that sheep, because that sheep could not do it on his own, on his shoulders. He takes the weight of all of that brokenness, all of the failure of that sheep, now resting on him. And he brings them home. Do you see the picture of the gospel? As Jesus, the good shepherd, because all of us wandering sheep have wandered away, he bears the weight of all of our failures. He puts us on himself, that on the cross, he who knew no sin became sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The full weight of us on his shoulders as he is nailed to a cross, so that we could come home, so the good shepherd could lay down his life, so that we could be brought back into the fold. He will not leave us. Jesus, the good shepherd, is the one who leaves the 99 to come find the one. And do you see the beauty of what happens? You see the heart of God, that only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life. That what happens when this shepherd has to leave 99 to find the one wandering sheep and he brings them home? He says, time for a party. Like, if I have to go after something, if I have 100 of something and one of them is lost and now I have to go do something. I didn't want to, like, this was not in the plan. I have to now expend myself to go find this thing that was lost. And it was its fault. And I bring it back. I'm exhausted. I've had to bear the weight of this thing. And all that wool is hot. And it's all over me. I'm sticky. I'm like itchy. And that thing just keeps blah, blah, right in my ear. Like, oh, you silly little sheep. And you get home. It's time for a shower and bed. But not this shepherd. This shepherd brings him back home. And he runs around to all of his neighbors. Imagine just waking him up like, it's the end of the day. It's nighttime that he's done this. He stepped into the darkness to do this. And he's waking up all of his neighbors like, hey, I lost a sheep, but I found him. He's home. Come on. It's party time. Like, what? It's like, it is time to celebrate. Jesus says, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need repentance. Jesus is the good shepherd. He cares about every single one of us. And when you come home, there is such a party. There is a party in heaven. I want today to be a day of partying in heaven, don't you? Will you come home? You can't get there on your own. What it means is stop running away from the shepherd. Look over your shoulder and see that he's chasing you. Now will you just watch as he scoops you up in his arms, throws you over his shoulder, and with a smile on his face, because it was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross, despising the shame. But with a smile on his face, he takes the cost, and he brings you home. Trust him to bring you home. There's a contrast that we should see here. If you were pursued by something, like something's chasing you, you know what should immediately happen? Like limbic system, all that stuff, like everything kicks in, like, okay, heart rate should rise, like senses heightened, adrenaline starts to course through you, something's chasing me, I need to figure out what is chasing me. And so you may immediately go into some motion of like, gotta get away, instinctively, moving away, something's chasing me, but you need to figure out what is chasing me. What do I do? Something chasing me could be dangerous, could be vengeful, could be merciful, could be loving. What is it? And what do I want? So let's play a game. We already have a whole lighting thing, but let's play another game. A game of would you rather. And I know this can be dangerous. Would you rather? Would you rather be Allie? Okay? Do you know Allie? Allie lives in an assisted living facility. She lives here. She's old. She's getting towards her last days. And every day in the morning, this guy named Noah shows up. And he has this silly notebook. You know where this is going? I know all the guys are like, oh, I think I've watched the movie because we've watched it 17 times and I've slept through most of it, but I think I got piece by piece. So Allie's in bed and Noah comes walking in, this older gentleman, and he looks at her like he's known her his whole life. And she's like, who are you? And he sits down with this notebook and he starts to read this story to her. And he does this every day. And it's this long, beautiful story that's full of comedy and full of romance, this great pursuit of this young man who wins over the love and affection of this young lady. They become married and have this beautiful life after all this back and forth and everything. And it's just this huge, moving story. And by the end of the story, Allie realizes, that's me and that's you and I love you. And they go to sleep in each other's arms, and it's beautiful. But he has to do this every day. He tells her a story of his pursuit of her, and in doing that, he's pursuing her every day like it's starting all over again, and he wins the battle. He chases her down, and he gets her. So would you rather? Would you rather be Allie, being pursued by this loving, persistent, faithful, loving man? Or would you like to be an evil lackey who just heard the voice of Liam Neeson say, I will find you? And you are watching, now terrified, as body after body falls dead to the floor, and that guy is coming for me. Like, which would you rather be? I think we would all rather be Allie. But here's the contrast you have to see. If the Lord is in pursuit of us, and I know what I am, and you know what you are, that we are broken, you are a sinner. You stand guilty before God in and of yourself. You have fallen short of the glory of God, and the consequence of that is death. To be separated from God, who is life himself, to face physical death, but also the spiritual death, to be separated from the God you were created for. To suffer the consequences of our sin is what we justly deserve. And if you're not convinced, I love Paul's argument in the start of Romans. It says, think about the standards that you impose on your friends. Not even your enemies, just your own friends, the people you love and adore. And how often do they not miss those standards that you impose on them, but then if you're honest, you don't even meet them yourself? We don't even meet our own standards, let alone a holy, perfect God. We are guilty. And if we have defied the God of the cosmos, who is holy and all-powerful, rod and staff, nothing can stay his hand. And he is in pursuit of us. That is terrifying. That is absolutely terrifying. If we only see the fact that we are truly guilty, we must be honest about that. God has wrath. It is real. And so to think that God that I have defied, that I am in rebellion against in so many ways every single day, he is chasing after me. Oh, what a terrifying thing. But to also know that he, while we are really that wretched in and of ourselves apart from him, we really are that loved and reconciled in him. That he's chasing us not for vengeance, but he's chasing us because he wants us to know that he's good and his love is steadfast. This faithful love is chasing after us because he wants us to turn to him. He wants us to be satisfied in him, to be able to lie down in green pastures and say, I have all I need. Why? Because I have the shepherd. and nothing could ever deplete him. And he loves me, and he's with me. I can enjoy a feast in the middle of my enemies because Yahweh himself has prepared this for me. He has anointed my head. My cup overflows. I have everything I could ever dream of. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore, the psalmist says. Who do I have in heaven and earth? There is nothing I desire but you. To see that all of your desires are only ever going to be fully satisfied in God himself. And he is chasing after us with this good news. Just repent. Repent. Turn from your sin. Turn to Jesus, who is Lord. You confess him as Lord, believing he came here to die. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. And no one can take us out of his hand. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. He is with us. This is such good news. He is chasing us. Charles Spurgeon, famous preacher, he used to talk a lot. He's actually quoting someone else about Jesus being the hound of heaven, but this is a quote from Spurgeon. He said, "I have known what it is to feel that Christ was indeed the hound of heaven. I was unwise and backward, but he followed me and would not let me go. As the hound follows the hare, never ceasing in its running, ever drawing nearer in the chase, so does God follow the fleeing soul by his divine grace." Chasing after us because he loves us. You are his beloved. Stop running. See the good shepherd. He's come to pursue us. It all comes down to the fact that the Lord pursues us. Us lost, wandering sheep. Today, I want to actually really ask you, really want you to answer the question, have you wandered away from God? Are you a lost sheep out in the darkness, headed straight into disaster, hell? Are you lost and wandering sheep, and can you hear the voice of the shepherd, Jesus? Today, would you stop running? Would you stop running and turn and look and actually welcome the God who's chasing after you? You turn from your sin today. Stop thinking that you could somehow measure up because you cannot. And yet there's a God who loves you in grace. He loves you when you don't deserve it. Will you believe him? Will you take him at his word? That he is a God who's full of goodness and faithful love, and he wants to lavish that on you forever. Will you trust him to be the good shepherd? And so lay down your life, surrender to him, and say, "Yes, I believe you lived and you died and you rose again. You are the Lord, Jesus, and I'm trusting you to be my shepherd, to save me, because I can't do it myself." You do that today. It's a real invitation. Do that today. Trust the good shepherd so that you can read all of Psalm 23 and say, like David, "The Lord is my shepherd. The God of the cosmos is the one who is personally bound to me. He loves me. He provides for me. He protects me. He's my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along right paths for his name's sake. And even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows." And now you conclude with this crescendo: "Only goodness and faithful love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live." Did you hear that? I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. This has been a journey. I want to invite you on that journey that Jesus would love to lead you in. The good shepherd is leading us on this journey. The Lord is our shepherd. He is leading us someplace, and this is the destination: to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live, for length of days, meaning it is forever, as long as I live. If you are a follower of Jesus, that means we get to live with him forever. We will be with him forever. It's like tag. We do a huddle with the kids ministry volunteers about an hour before this gathering. And so I'll do the sermon in about 5 minutes. If ever there was a reason for you to volunteer with them, hear the sermon in 5 minutes. You're like, that sounds pretty cool. Like, you should go serve with them. So I'm with them, and I make this point. Like, you know, if we're in this massive cafeteria, huge room, bigger than this room, a lot of the tables are out of the way right now. It's a big open space. So like, if we brought all the kids in today, there's 70 kids in this room, and we say, hey, we're providing no toys, no direction, have fun. Like, what game do you think they are invariably going to start playing? Tag. Have you thought about that? If any of you are looking for a dissertation in psychology, like, please study this. We don't have to teach kids how to play tag. They will come up with some variant of tag. Like, it just happens. I did a two-night little field trip thing with all of fourth graders. Yes, I thank you for your prayers. I lived through it. But but in any given moment, when there was like downtime, there was no downtime. But like, any time that the kids had, like, you could do something. We got 5 minutes before this next thing starts. You know what they play? Tag. Over and over and over. Tag. Like, why is that? That is actually so compelling to play this simple game that you are either pursuing someone or you are being pursued by someone. Why is that? It's so basic and so incredibly popular and gratifying. Do you see the shift that has taken place? The Lord is my shepherd. He's leading me, provides for me, protects me, leads me in the right path, leads me through the valley, the shadow of death, prepares all this. He's leading me. We're going to this destination. I arrive at the destination. He's been chasing after me. And what is going to happen now? I dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. Do you see it? Tag, you're it. He has been chasing me. And now it shifts. The one who has been pursuing me has caught me. And now I am in pursuit of him. So when you go to the house of the Lord, what are you looking for? You go to the house of the Lord in pursuit of the Lord. You go back to David's day, and you have this tabernacle, and he wants to build a temple, but there's still this special place where God is said to dwell in a very special way. He is omnipresent. There is nowhere we can go to escape him, and yet his special presence would manifest in these places. And David says, that's where I want to be. Right there with you. I go to the house of the Lord to be with the Lord. Even today, church, you are now the temple of the holy and living God. We are the dwelling place of God, and yet there is something special about when we come together. As Jesus himself said, when two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there in their midst. That you come together on Sunday, and you don't just watch online. If you're on vacation, that's awesome. Catch up on the podcast. Love those things. But it is not the same as being in this room together with your brothers and sisters in this beautiful family. It's beautiful because God is making it beautiful. You come here pursuing the Lord. And so only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. He's chasing me, he catches me, and now I chase him. This beautiful thing, you remember at the start, what a beautiful place to be, to know that the thing that is pursuing you, you are pursuing. The thing you are pursuing is also pursuing you. He is not upset by what he caught. He loves us, and we love him as a response to his love for us. See that Jesus is what you need to be pursuing. You've got to see that. Augustine said it like this. He said, you move us to delight in praising you, for you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Or C.S. Lewis, he said, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. Can you see the Good Shepherd is who you are actually longing for? And he's been chasing you, and now you are invited into this game of tag. Chase him. Dwell with him forever. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. We conclude this. This Irish theologian, Mathieu, he beautifully pointed out that this entire psalm has three sections, that you can catch the three sections by three personal confessions David makes. I have what I need, I fear no danger, and I will dwell. This must become personal for you, as it must be personal for me. If the Lord is my shepherd, I have what I need. If the Lord is my shepherd, I fear no danger. If the Lord is my shepherd, I will dwell with the Lord. If you take that same categorization, I personally just love the fact that it means that the psalm starts with the Lord leading us. I'm very visual, and so I imagine he's in front. And you get to the middle of the psalm. That's the climax you should have. That was beautiful. You get to the middle of the psalm, and remember, because he's with us. We fear no danger because he is with us. So he's in front of us, and yet now he's here with us. And you get to the end of the psalm, and he's chasing us. There is nowhere that we could go that our good shepherd is not. There is nothing that could take our good shepherd from us. Nothing. Nothing could separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing could separate us from him. Will you believe this good news? And will you share it? The preacher in Hebrews chapter 13, as he's getting ready to close out, I want you to hear this as we conclude this series. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, equip you with everything good to do his will, working in us what is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Or in the words of the famous song, Come Thou Fount, do you think of this God in pursuit of us? Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He, to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.